this is Dr. Pollack. Today I have a special guest. I just recently met him and have been really quite enthralled, actually, by his experience and what he's going to help to share with us. So welcome again to the PEMF Healing Summit. And I have with me today Dr. Ira Shandles. And Dr. Shandles is a podiatrist in Tampa, Florida. And he's a very enthusiastic person. So let's welcome Dr. Shandles. And Dr. Shandles, please tell us about something about yourself and how you started your career and go into the things we're going to really get into today.
Thank you for having me. I graduated at the Temple University College of Podiatric Medicine in 1977. I went for residency to a private hospital in Philadelphia called the Oxford Hospital, with an affiliation with the University of Pennsylvania Sports Medicine Center for learning surgery and therapeutics, especially in sports injuries. Following that, I went into practice and allowed myself to research what medications could possibly be curative for injuries of the feet, ankles, and legs that would commonly come into the office. I wasn't looking for a treatment. I was looking for a cure. And using certain discoveries that were already made, which is funny because I'm not looking for the better mousetrap. My studies of history have showed me the better mousetrap was already created. We just weren't paying any attention. And so this is the laughable part of all this. Everything I'm curing patients with is between 60 and 90 years old from today. And the cure rate with using the proprietary injection approach that we had without pulsed electromagnetic therapy was 70%. And that was not satisfactory to me. If I'm really, as a physician, supposed to be curing people, I'm looking for 90 to 100%. And I thought that this is well below the standard of care, in my opinion. I know that's what they preach at medical conferences, but I think my standards are a little bit higher than that. So in my research, mysteriously, in 1986, at a 20th high school reunion, up walks a classmate of mine who happens to be a graduate in engineering from Columbia University. And he bends my ear and says, "You're practicing medicine in Tampa. Listen to me. A salesman will come into your office very shortly, marketing a piece of equipment called the Diapulse. He don't ask any questions. Listen to me. You buy that machine, you will see sheer miracles." Now, here's an engineering student in electrical engineering from that university, prominent as it is, where the machine was actually developed in 1934. My classmates were all academic, and not over 90% of them go on to college. It was at that type of a high school. So this is a big deal. And he had that to say. He felt so strongly about it, he almost twisted my arm. He didn't have to twist my arm. He convinced me by his verbiage. In came the salesman a week later, no joke. And he sits down, he says, "I want to tell you about a machine." And I said, "I'll take it."
Pause that thought. So let's go back to what you said, 75% cure rate, right?
Let's say 75%.
Cure rate of what?
Pain.
Kinds of conditions.
Pain of the feet, ankles, and legs.
Pain.
And we're talking permanent. I didn't know completely it was permanent yet. I would have said it at the time, because I was on the course of performing a 10-year follow-up of 317 cases. And I would not publish until the 10 years were up, because I felt that anything shorter than that would be invalid.
So that's a very, very, very good point. We hear from many, many practitioners, many salespeople and so on, that we can cure this problem. And when you ask them what their data is, well, the data is 3 months. And unfortunately, even the oncologists play this game that a cure is 5 years, right? If you go 5 years after your treatment, then you're cured. It's a game, right? So we, you and I as clinicians know that that cure, well, it may take the rest of your life to, in quotes, have a cure, right? Okay, so you were dealing mostly with foot, ankle, and leg pain issues. What kinds of problems cause those pain issues?
Well, that was actually my discovery and not taught to me in school, because everything was the reverse of what I was taught. If it, you want me to jump ahead? And it, okay, what? I'm going to jump ahead.
Go, well, no, no, no. We're going to go back. We're going to go back to the salesman walking into your office. But
he looked at me and his jaw dropped and he said, "You're kidding me." I said, "No, get the equipment. We're going to start to use it." And I knew exactly how I was going to use it. And then he provided me with copies of 300 national and internationally published papers on this one piece of equipment, which I had never seen any volume of research or data like that.
And okay, people around I'm really sorry to interrupt, because I'm sure there are people who say, okay, pain. What's pain caused by? So let's go into some of the causes of the kinds of pain that you were seeing.
That's the surprise. There is only one cause. This was my discovery. And it was not what we were taught in school.
So what we were taught in school was tendonitis, right? Inflammation, fractures, neuropathy, right?
Yeah. Arthritis, a whole bunch of stuff that sounded good, looked good on x-ray, which was inadequate, but they didn't know that at the time. And even the MRIs are inadequate. And that, at least an entire line of questioning. But the difference between me and the other clinicians in my field was I was actually listening to the patients. And I was, being a history major, I was very verbal. And when I listened to the words they chose to describe their pain, I said, these are not bone and joint words. These are nerve words. So I said, and I always wondered, by the way, after finishing residency and surgery and stuff, that these nerves are so close to the skin. How can you walk the full body weight on these structures and not injure these nerves? It's impossible.
Right.
But nobody was looking at it. Nobody. So the ultimate,
Diapulse.
All right, Diapulse now.
So the Diapulse rep walks into your office, gives you 300 references, a list.
And instead of intimidating me, I thoroughly digested the papers because they covered a multitude of conditions. One technology curing or helping to cure conditions from otitis media or middle ear infections that we have in all of our kids, down to, let's say, a head injury, or up to a head injury study from India, curing these people. No drugs, nothing. So I said, this is pretty powerful technology. We may not understand it, but my job as a physician is to do no harm and use any harmless remedy that will heal my patients. So what I did that was innovative, I guess, is incorporate a combination of technologies. I used the PEMF to make my therapeutic injection, which was already in use for 60 years by that. Well, let's see, at that point, in the 80s would have been in use for 25 years, let's say. And well discovered and well founded by a very brilliant physician in New York. And so I combined not cortisone injections, because they're just a Band-Aid. I combined this therapeutic injection with the PEMF, and oh my God, my cure rate jumped from 70% to 95%. I was doing, as a resident, I was training at the VA hospital at the time, who helped me with collating data, said to me, Dr. Sheila, do you realize how much less surgery you're doing now? And the truth was, it was true. I had reduced my surgical load by over 90%, and I was curing more people than I ever cured before. What's wrong with this picture?
That means you're making less money.
Well, theoretically, but the truth is the public doesn't understand. The surgeon doesn't make a lot of money from the surgery. The surgical center, for the fees they charge for the use of the room, and the anesthesiologist who has his charge, each of them make four times what the surgeon makes. It's pathetic. So my idea is, my job is to cure people, and I'm just going to go ahead and cure people. And the truth is, my revenues went up because I didn't have to waste time taking a day off to do surgery. I was seeing many more patients in the office and curing every one of them that walked into the door. It was a very enjoyable way to practice.
I think that's very unsatisfying, making everybody happy. That's so incredible. Okay, well, hold that thought. So now you have this technology that has all these references, and you said, okay, I'm going to start using it. So then we'll go into the rest of that story. What was the technology?
All right, the technology was the only major device, the one recommended to me by the graduate engineering student at Columbia University, my classmate, Diapulse.
Diapulse, D-I-A-P-U-L-S-E, Diapulse.
Absolutely. That, to me, is the gold standard of PEMF. There is no equal in the world, in my opinion.
Well, we might have an argument about that, but let's live with your assertion.
Okay? With my limited knowledge of the field, okay.
Okay, so the Diapulse. Yeah. It's a phenomenal piece of equipment. So yeah. Let's go from there. You started using the Diapulse.
Yes. And the patients were coming in with 50 to 70% relief of pain with just one treatment, using the same technology I used before, and the number of treatments went down to an average of 1 to 3 to get cure, and maybe as high as 1 to 5. But they were cured.
So they had to come at that time. They had to come into your office to get treatment.
Correct.
Because this is a big machine and it's very expensive. It has a great big head on it, right?
Yeah.
It's got a big arm. Boy. And you have to apply it directly to the spot that you are treating.
Only treat one zone at a time.
Right. All right. So you started using the Diapulse. Now, when you started using the Diapulse, did you use it by itself or did you still combine it with your injections?
Always go. Well, when it came to the therapeutics I'm referring to specifically, I was combining it. And we know that it can be applied to the injected area 3 hours before or up to 3 hours after and have the same effect. So based on literature. So what I did was I would do the injection first, and then they would go, because it's such a bulky, heavy machine, I had one room dedicated to the PEMF. They would go to that room and sit, read a magazine or something, take the Diapulse treatment, and then leave.
But the Diapulse treatment is how long does it take?
15 minutes.
15 minutes.
Now, I do know from parameters, it could be as little as 10 minutes, but we always went for the 15. And we know that beyond 15 was just gilding the lily, okay, based on the technology. Yeah.
All right. So you, right off the get-go, you started using the Diapulse with injections, or did you try Diapulse for a while without anything else?
No, because I knew what the pathology was, and I already had a therapeutic injection that had a 70% cure rate with no Diapulse, and I wasn't going to, all I wanted to do was augment it so my cure rate would jump up to 100% if I could.
Okay, so let's clarify that point. So you had already developed this injection technique, and you told me about it, and it's already different than what most doctors do. So you said already local anesthetics or local steroids don't do very much, right? They don't last, the benefit doesn't last, and they cause their own problems. So what was your injection? How did you discover this injection?
I can't take credit for the original discovery. Like most of the great inventions we're dealing with, they were either developed in New York or California. I have no idea why. It's always those two places. But at Columbia one of the medical colleges in New York City was a Dr. Marvin Steinberg. He was very, very bright in podiatric medicine because of his depth of study into the relationships between internal medicine and their presentation in the lower extremities. Very interesting man, very bright. He determined, and I do not know how, I don't think he ever published. He just taught that if you take a mixture of vitamin B12 liquid, a tiny, and I'm telling you tiny, almost inconsequential to most clinicians, amount of long-acting soluble corticosteroid. I can't even think you can get it anymore, but it was only 0.2 cc of steroid. But 90% of it was vitamin B12, and lastly, a little bit of lidocaine, use lidocaine. So I figure you got a formula we know works. I'm just going to use what he used, because all the students I met in my travels who were using his formula were having tremendous success in their offices. And I figured that's my job, cure patients. So I used Steinberg's formula and later on reduced the corticosteroid to 0.1 cc because I realized I didn't even need 0.2. And so it was almost an insult, but for electrochemical reasons, there's a good reason to use it based on what we know now. But in any case, that lidocaine, so B12 is the main ingredient.
You were still using a tiny amount of
corticosteroid. I was insecure about taking away what Steinberg discovered completely. I'm insecure about it. But I have had cases that where people were allergic to the corticosteroids, and I just used the straight B12, and I can't deny they also cured. But
why did you stop using the steroid altogether?
I could.
When? Or you're still using it?
Never did. I hate to contaminate an already good system.
Okay.
By inserting my own.
So you are using a tiny amount of long-acting steroid and a fairly substantial amount of B12. But the B12 you're using, which form of B12?
I know, I've been asked this before, and the truth is, always use the standard cyanocobalamin. I know there's a lot of people arguing methylcobalamin. Well, in my hands, the cyanocobalamin's got me up to a 99.9% cure rate. So truthfully, it's the...
That's what you're stuck with.
Vitamin C or vitamin C produced by any manufacturer. I think it's the same. The question is, how do you get it absorbed? That's the key.
All right, but before we go to that, how much cyanocobalamin were you using?
For every site, I would use 1.3 cc's.
Cc's, which amounts to how many milligrams?
1.2.
How many milligrams?
That would be 1,000 milligrams per cc, so it's a little over 1,000 milligrams. Okay, a month's right. Supply.
All right. So your injections were directly to the nerve. So you didn't inject into the pain area, you injected specifically. So tell us more about how you discovered where to inject.
Okay. Surgical residency did do me well about one thing. It taught me the anatomy even better than I may have known it before in three dimensions. So I knew exactly where the nerves ran when I was treating an area of the body. My challenge was to find out where the nerve is most affected. Where is the sweet spot? Where is the key to all the pain? And I discovered that all pain narrowed down to a 1/4 inch diameter when it came to nerve pain. And that all this bone and joint pain wasn't bone and joint pain. It was nerve damage. And I was able to narrow it down. How did I do that? The only thing available to me at the time, I had to find an instrument that would not be injurious or create pain on its own, but solicit the actual, or elicit, if you will, the actual response from the nerve. And my first tool that was published was the number two lead pencil with the eraser. Worked very well, but it's kind of fragile. It doesn't work when you're going after a sciatic or some other nerve that's deeper, so to speak. So I had to get a book. So then later on, we developed our own instrument. But we started out with a number two pencil with an eraser. And that was my tool for locating the center of pain. In other words, by touch, not running imaging, by touch. God forbid we should put our hands on a patient. I know where that phobia came. I kind of do, but it's wrong. It's
all right. So let me clarify, just so I understand as well. So what you did is you took a lead pencil, you used the eraser side of the lead pencil. I'm glad we clarified that, because people are going to say, well, you were jabbing the person with the lead pencil. Yeah,
sure, that's going to hurt. Right.
Okay. You use the eraser side, and you were basically, in a sense, palpating, or you're probing, pushing on the various spots around where the pain was to find this sweet spot.
Correct. And it always narrowed down to one spot, and they would jump or they would react. And I said, that's got to be the spot. Had no way to image it at the time. It was all by touch and patient response. So I marked it with a skin marker. And later on, that's where the injection would go. And the accuracy was formidable. It was amazing. Easy to repeat, easy to teach, easy to show. And as the pain subsided, the center of pain would move. So you have to take a few seconds each time to find the part of the nerve that you hadn't reached yet.
Right.
But that was, so it's a process. That's why it was so.
And that could take 2 to 3 injections.
Yes.
In order to get all of the pain.
That is absolutely correct.
Right. Fantastic. Okay, so that's the part that you were doing before you got diathermy, before you got the diapulse.
Be correct.
You already had become skilled at doing that, and you got a 75% improvement rate even then.
70%.
Okay, I won't. 5%. I'll take back that 5%. Okay. All right, so now the diapulse.
Yes.
So you said 70% is not good enough. I want more. I want better.
If I were a patient going into a doctor's office, I want to hear him tell me, if we do this procedure, your success of recovery, complete recovery is 90% or better. If they can't say that, they're not touching me, because you should demand perfection. It's your body, it's your life. And we're going to medical conferences and I'm hearing 70% and they're happy and I'm laughing. So after reading all the papers and listening to my classmate who swore by this technology, I started to incorporate 15-minute diapulse after every injection case.
So you do your injection first and then you do the diapulse right after.
Now, sometimes just because of scheduling, we would do it before 15 minutes because we knew the electrical charges were stored in the tissue for hours. So we weren't afraid we weren't going to have the same effect. And that had already been established. So it was great. So it was, the diapulse was a workhorse, boy. It got a lot of work in my office.
So you never let up. After that, it was only ever combined the two.
Always. Absolutely.
All right. Why do you think the diapulse made such a big difference?
Peculiarly, of all the reagents known to medical science, a study was done in New York, again, using B12 as the reagent to see how it would be absorbed with and without the diapulse specifically. This was coincidental. I knew nothing about this study. I read it later. Well, they showed that we inject B12 and we assume, I love that word. I'm going to use that a lot in future lectures, like everything we were taught. So that we assume it's being absorbed into the bloodstream, into the body. Well, they found out in New York, it wasn't. It was sitting in the tissue using radioactive tag B12 and a gamma camera. They could trace the B12. It would sit in there unabsorbed days, weeks, maybe longer. And so where was the therapeutic value? As soon as they applied the DiaPulse equipment, the B12 was taken up by the tissue 100% in seconds. Seconds. What's wrong with this picture?
Now, that's neural tissue or regular tissue? What was the study?
It was regular tissue, correct. They were using, like you would do a B12 injection to a deltoid or, you know, a thigh muscle or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So even from a regular tissue perspective, it was being absorbed much more rapidly.
Completely. And conclusively every time if you use the DiaPulse.
All right. So you said, well, if it does it for regular soft tissue, what about a nerve?
Cookbook. Yeah. It'll translate. I figured the translation would be 100%. Of course it was. And my data proves that.
All right. So then you started with one or two or five or 10 people, and then you went crazy.
I wanted to cure these folks. I mean, I thought if I was the patient, I'd like that consideration. So why not cure them?
All right. So then you actually wrote a paper based on your experience with how many people using this combination of approach?
317 followed for 10 years because I didn't want to publish before I knew that it was actually permanent. And the paper, the data was collated by U.S. Army research physicians along with my resident at the hospital. And we had a cure rate of almost 95% without surgery. The other 4-point-something% went to surgery and were cured that way. But the truth is 95% were cured without surgery by combining the injection and the DiaPulse.
Now, this was for neuroma, right?
No, actually, let put nerve damage because okay. You made a very good point. Up to that point, the only kind of nerve damage we were taught in school had to be the neuroma of the metatarsal areas of the ball of foot, and we were taught about tarsal tunnel syndrome, much like carpal tunnel in the wrist. Unfortunately, to the DiaPulse in my injection, they don't care where the nerve is. Right. They cure it all. Okay. We cured tarsal tunnel with it. We cured neuromas with it. And now I can image it and you see them just dissolve away. It's the most amazing thing. Beautiful sight.
The neuroma dissolves away.
Completely dissolves away. You have a normal image once it's all done.
Well, what's the cause of a neuroma?
That involves the other cure that was developed that is non-PEMF. We'll get that. The cause of the neuromas, this study did show that all this nerve damage, neuroma, tarsal tunnel syndrome, all of this stuff, feet, ankle, and legs, is due to abnormal foot structure, which we've known about since 1960 from the work of Merton Root at the California College of Podiatric Medicine and the University of California College of Medicine, San Francisco, where they did the anatomic studies. And it's cookbook. They show that the world's broken up to three foot structures. You're born with one of two abnormal structures and only 20% of people are born with normal feet. Mm-hmm. And who are my patients? The 80% that were born with abnormal foot structure, which means it's an inherited factor for which they developed a cure in 1960, which was a simple custom-made insert that went into the shoes for both sports and regular day-to-day activity with a durability because of the change in fabricated materials available. Now they last 10 more years or more.
All you're doing is you're with the orthotic, you're basically just maintaining the natural angles of the arches of the foot.
That is correct. Right. And it's true. It scientifically, yes, it is not an easy subject to understand. It's called biomechanics. And you have to be able to envision how the body moves in three dimensions. And apparently a study was done, I was later told, and only about 25% of physicians have that capability. It's not easy, but I spent 400 hours in training under the people that wrote the textbooks in California on my own dime, because I wanted to, I knew it was a cure and I wanted to master it. And that's, so that's the other part of my practice is biomechanics. And
you did the biomechanics, everybody gets biomechanics anyway. You took care of the pain problem, the sort of immediate need, right?
And how do you prevent it from coming back? And there it is. But it worked. It all works.
Okay. Well, podiatrists are supposed to limit what they do, right? by the boards, the regulations, and so on. Say you're limited your practice to the foot, the ankle, and the leg. And that's the leg from the hip, from below the knee, right? Not above the knee.
Yeah, correct. Some conditions of the knee were actually allowed to treat when they're related to the foot, which we found out at the University of Pennsylvania Sports Medicine Center is quite considerable. But still, you're right. I'm not doing a meniscectomy, and that we're not working on internal parts of the knee. Correct.
All right. Well, being the innovator and renegade that you are, you went astray.
A little bit.
So tell us about what you strayed into.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Well, I figured if it works on nerves in the lower extremity, it would work on nerves in the upper extremity. And I was working in the office of an orthopedic surgeon whose license was bigger. So what happened was I was able to continue my research on other kinds of cases. And they, truthfully, it's a breeze to cure anything above the waist, man. I'm going to tell you, they don't put body weight on their hands. So that could explain why. I was curing carpal tunnel, maybe one treatment, tops two. I was curing so-called tennis elbow. Oh, is that a misdiagnosed condition? Maybe one or two treatments. There was guy with the neck pain that was 2 years post rear end collision, scheduled for surgical intervention, and he was a great subject. That took just one injection to cure, I had a 5-year follow up. At 5 years is some kind of standard, but he couldn't believe it. He walked out of the office with no pain. He couldn't believe it. And I also found out with my research and using good imaging system that all this crazy back pain that we're all worried about, they base their surgery on the MRI and the CT scan and the X-ray. So what do? You assume that the pain is coming from what the studies are showing. Wrong. If you use the touch principle and an instrument that can work on the back and the other areas, you find out the pain's actually coming from a peripheral subcutaneous nerve that had nothing to do with the imaging that we're showing. So is it all right to have something wrong in an X-ray and then not have to be treated? Of course. This is the problem. Our society has become one of treating tests, not people. Right. We got to get back to treating people. This is what bothers me.
So in that orthopedic office, you were still doing the same treatment. You'd find the nerve.
Absolutely.
Right.
Everybody got the diapulse and the injection until I was able to replace the diapulse.
Why did you replace the diapulse?
There were two problems with the diapulse other than the bulkiness. The problem was I realized when I'm lecturing and I'm trying to present this around the world, I've got a 200-pound machine on casters that looks like it came out of the early days of radio. And I'm trying to impress younger minds that are used to seeing sleek machines, space age type technology. And I said, we just got to make a solid state version of this thing. So that's when I met the IVV.
So that's IVV, IV, IV, IVI. Okay, so the IVV has the same signal. So the signal in the diapulse, so let's explain that signal a little bit. So the diapulse signal is 20 21 point hertz. What is it?
27.12 megahertz.
27.12 megahertz. That's the carrier signal.
Correct.
And then that carrier signal is then pulsed at a lower rate. And that varies from equipment and to equipment and study to study, but it can be upwards of say 300 to 600 cycles per second or pulses per second, right?
Correct.
So the IVV came along. You had Diapulse people selling you IVV machines instead.
Yeah, which shocked me, but I'm looking at this thing and said, now this could go. This the audience is going to want to see this if it worked. Now, I'm a purist. I'm OCD, being a surgeon before being a clinician like I have been. So you want to put things back the right way. Well, my idea was I've got to see if this works. And I said to him, I know this is new technology. I know it's supposed to replace the Diapulse in your eyes, but I want to see the clinical results. And I was shocked. Not only did I get the 95% cure rate, when we actually tabulated the results at the end of a year, our cure rate had jumped to 99.9%.
Hmm. So there's something different in the something different in the signal. Same 15-minute treatment cycle, right?
Correct.
Now the Diapulse, the IVV, the Diapulse is this big machine on a cabinet on casters that you have to roll around. Right? The IVV, your IVV machine was the Roma, right?
Yes, that was
the Roma.
That I'm still using today, correct.
What does that look like?
Oh, that's about the body of the machine is so lightweight. It's a blue color, about maybe a foot in diameter, maybe 2.5 inches thick. It has three external male couplings for using three separate electrodes. So instead of being relegated to only one treatment head, right, I had three heads I could use simultaneously with 8 inches of penetration and 8 inches of width in signal.
Right.
So I was even close to where my mark was. This thing was going to work as far as the absorption and penetration and so forth. Well, yeah, my study showed that it worked actually as well or better. And so I said, this thing I could sell. This one I could lecture about and say, hey, look, this is it. This is the newer version of the old technology and is just as efficacious in cure as was the old. So I have no reason to go backwards. I will go forwards with the solid state circuitry.
So if you can share, what was the price of the Roma?
The Roma at the time was marketed at $15,000. The Diapulse, when I got it, was $10,000at that time. By taking my Diapulse in trade prospectively with the proviso of, if it doesn't work, we will give you back your Diapulse machine. We respect your work that much. And so they discounted $10,000 off of the Aviv at the time.
Okay.
So they sold to me for $5,000. And I said, well, that sounds like a fair deal. If it works, I'll get a couple of them. I'll get more than one. And as the story goes, it did, and I tried to acquire as many as I could over time. But
Now the Roma, there were several other IVV models, right?
Apparently, I was not aware of them at the time, but I found out later from looking on eBay that some of these things were being sold. It was interesting.
Well, there was the Roma, there was the Torino.
Yes, that is that's interesting. That's true. That was the word they used for the original disposable version of a DVD.
Right.
Yes.
Well, what's happened with the company what's happened with IVV?
Even though in 1990 I met with their chief scientific officer at a DVD, and I explained to her that what she had in the Roma was so incredible. incredible that they need to really market it. In 1990, of course, my article wasn't published yet, but I have clinical results that would be useful for them in marketing that would be helpful. And they didn't believe, apparently they didn't believe enough in the Roma that they actually discontinued manufacturing it so they could focus on the Torino and its later heirs in order to deal with the disposable economics of medicine and sell more equipment over and over and over again.
So, yeah, so I know that the your machine, the Roma, was also used a lot, was marketed a lot for nursing homes for wound management or skin management.
Which is the way Diapulse was going, but it, you know, it's awfully bulky to have. But the VD was portable and each of you had a clip so it could hook onto the back of a chair and you could treat multiple patients in either direction with their coils. Yeah. So it could be very practical from that standpoint.
So the Roma, and you're lucky enough to have the older machines available.
Yes.
And now you said that the technology shifted to disposables, or yeah. Right?
Correct.
And they would cost how much? The
in the Torinos at the time the Torino came out to a doctor, it would be $180. They created a new generation of the same exact equipment, maybe a little bit better material, and just about doubled the price on it.
Okay. And you said that you found that worked just as well.
Correct. Technically speaking, if you were, let's say, reticent about investing thousands into PEMF devices, you could get one of those and use it in your practice. If you were a doctor, or a doctor could prescribe it for a patient and could be used for several months at a much lesser cost. And if it worked, then you'd have your evidence that maybe it would work.
All right. So unfortunately, what happened to Ivedi?
Out of business, as far as I know, out of business.
Yeah, they stopped business. They did a lot of studies. A friend of mine, a colleague of mine, was actually one of their researchers.
Wow.
Dr. Arthur Pilla.
I remember him.
You remember him?
Yes. He was in the literature. His name was bandied about a lot.
Yeah, he did a lot of the basic science research on the signal.
Interesting.
So Ivedi went belly up or basically stopped production. They were actually reformulated into another company, which is now called SoftPulse. And the SoftPulse, one of the original SoftPulses, was actually being used in the nursing homes. And so the SoftPulse has gone through some of the same sort of rejiggering, if you will, of the corporation of the company. And they're really not doing almost anything. They're really not doing any marketing. You don't hear any salespeople coming by, right?
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all.
And one of the principals of the IVV ended up developing another company called the Assisi.
Oh.
So the Assisi, like Francis, St. Francis of Assisi. Right.
Yeah.
So the Assisi is a pet device. It's marketed as a pet machine.
That's what I saw on eBay.
Now the coil is smaller because it's really for smaller animals.
Yes.
I don't know is whether the intensity in this case is not just the peak PEMF intensity, which we talk about in terms of Gauss or millitesla. You often talk about wattage. So the wattage of the Diapulse was pretty high because it was plugged into the wall, right? It used current to power it. And the new Ivedi, the SoftPulse and the Assisi are powered by batteries.
Interesting.
They're small little batteries.
Yeah.
And like their model, as you said, had switched over from a professional model to a disposable model. So now you have you buy this ring and it's sealed and you use it for something like 70 minutes of total treatment time, or 70 treatments, I'm sorry, 50 to 70 treatments. And then the battery basically dies. And then you have to replace it. It costs like $300+ as well.
Like spare parts.
So that's the legacy of that technology. So if people are interested in trying this technology, you could try the Assisi. Although they do ask you for the name of your veterinarian.
Oh my gosh.
So right now I think that we are kind of in a hiatus, unfortunately, with this technology, which is a tremendous technology. So people can still buy the loop coil from SofPulse. So it's SOF PULSE.
Correct.
Right. And yes. It's still available, although the company, again, has shrunk down substantially with their investments. And they spent a lot of money and have not been able to really grow the company and establish a good product. So there's a gap and there's an opportunity here for us to do a lot more with this. Because as you said, this is not just a podiatric device. This is not just a nerve device, right? This technology has been shown to heal wounds, right? As you said, brain treatment, sprained ankles. So swollen, sprained ankles.
It's fantastic against edema. Yes, that's true.
And that's one of the, it is FDA approved. So the SofPulse does require a prescription. The FDA has classified it as a Schedule II, not drug, but device, which means that it requires a prescription, which is unfortunate. The Assisi doesn't, but I think that the Assisi is probably weaker. I'm sure that it's weaker than the SofPulse.
Interesting.
So because it is FDA approved for pain, post-operative pain, and for edema, which is why you were getting the kinds of results you were getting with what you were doing as well. Now, do you know clinicians, other clinicians, non-podiatric clinicians? Well, let's talk about podiatric clinicians. Obviously, if people want to come to Tampa, you're still seeing patients.
Yes.
Right. So give us your website, please.
Oh yes, it's DrIShandles.com.
So Shandles, spell Shandles.
DrIShandles.com.
S-H-A-N-D-L-E-S, DrIShandles.com. All right, now do you know other clinicians, other doctors, orthopedic doctors who are using this signal?
Oh, absolutely not.
Not.
This is the problem, which is something I think you've talked to me about. And I've lectured to the orthopedics department at Tampa General Hospital on this 20 years ago. No one comprehends the fact that one machine has the latitude to cure or help cure so many different disorders. They just don't understand because they're not teaching this in the medical schools. They're not, my discoveries are converse to what I was taught, where the damage really was. I was taught to shoot the x-rays. I was taught to. There's only one imaging system, by the way, I'm down to, and that's the only one that shows the damage all the time, and that's ultrasound. The one thing that, one of the few they don't train us on, I had to take my own training, get my own training at a certified course up in, again, New York, interestingly, by one of the medical colleges up there. And then when I left the course, I said, was that all there is? And he said, yeah, now you got to do them. And it's true. Once you've done hundreds of tens of thousands like I have, you become very proficient with it. And you know how to see. I mean, I'm actually creating now the first atlas for ultrasound in the foot, ankle, and leg ever published. Because there are no images. There's nothing standard for these people. The only neuromas, yeah. But what I've seen, tarsal tunnel and the cysts that rose up. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Now, not everybody has access to Dr. Shandles. Not everybody has a podiatric pain problem. So in the absence of people in the community who are able to do this, what would you say about using this signal directly on a pain area itself without using the injection?
I mentioned to you, and I still, as a result of this technology, I've come to believe something I believe you believe, and that is that everything we need to heal ourselves is already in our body. The issue is, how do you get it to work? And I believe this signal does that. So yes, it augments what I'm doing, but let's say you, like you say, if you just had pain or swelling or something like that, that was not like threatening, why not use it? Why not try? It can't, the beautiful part, it can do no harm. So, but if it works, what have you found? A cure without drugs and without dangerous treatments.
Now, unfortunately, in looking at the science myself on the IVV, well, it's not so much the IVV, but the science on the diapulse and that particular signal, 27.12 hertz, you know, I asked you at the beginning, what's special about this 27.12 hertz? And you said it's the FCC.
They created that as the, as you say, carrier signal, pardon me, that was medically approved for all medical devices. We're allowed to broadcast on that frequency. Isn't that interesting? I mean, we're relevant.
That's not to say that there may not be other megahertz signals or other signals.
Absolutely.
And of course, my experience with PEMFs is most PEMFs will help with pain. And what I found that the issue is, a lot of the time, the issue is the depth of the pain problem and having the right magnetic field intensity. Now, it's possible that you don't need as much intensity with this megahertz signal than you do with other PEMF signals.
Interesting.
But I have never seen studies comparing other PEMFs to the dipulse signal.
True.
Right, so we don't know what the comparison might be. Now, when you're treating superficial issues like the foot, the ankle, and I consider them relatively superficial compared to the liver or the lungs or the brain.
Would you like an interesting liver story?
By all means, please.
This is one medical miracle that is documented. And the punchline I may leave out, but the truth is, I was treating a patient referred to me that at the time I did not know was at the top of the liver transplant list from Lakeland, Florida. When I had a satellite office, it was in Brandon. So they drove from Lakeland to Brandon. He was referred to me by a liver specialist. And he was being tested regularly for his liver levels because they really want to try to keep him out of the deathbed. But the point is, he referred to me for a metatarsal fracture on one of his feet. So I did what I was supposed to do. And of course, I had the old diapulse machine at the time. So this for you might be of interest. So I treated his foot, but diapulse always told you, treat the liver at the same time, because the liver can act as a storage battery. It will bind the electronic charges, the negative electrical charges, just like a battery would. And when the heart beats, of course, the red corpuscles go through there. And we do know, and I guess Guyton must have had this because I knew this, that each red corpuscle had a capacity to carry two extra electrons. So they felt that you can create a therapeutic battery circuit by charging the liver, and then the charges will be dropped off where the positive charges were, which is any site of injury or disease. So I did that day. One treatment, 15 minutes, liver and foot. The liver specialist calls me from Lakeland 1 week later. He said, what'd you do? And I said, I did his fracture and I put the diapulse here. The man no longer has liver disease. He is totally healthy. What did you do? So he made me send him copies of the 300 published papers on this technology. He goes through them for 2 to 3 weeks. He calls me back. I don't understand it. I don't know how this did it. But I don't, the punchline is probably a little humiliating, but the point is, no, he didn't want a machine, and no, he didn't want to cure his patients, sadly, but there you go. That's the punchline. But the point is, it cured this one man. Why? Because the liver already had the capacity to heal itself, but it was inspired to do this by a 1934 discovery. I guess we don't really need a better mousetrap. We already have it. That's what I see.
Well, I think liver disease, and you're absolutely correct. I think liver disease is, the liver is very, it's the most regenerative organ in the body, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So you give it a fighting chance and amazing things happen.
One treatment?
Have you done any more livers beyond that?
Oh, never. Never, and nobody's a salesman from that company either. No, the public isn't surprised when I talk to the public about some of this stuff, because they understand the profit motive. They understand that everybody needs to eat, but that doesn't mean they like it, but they understand it. That doesn't mean they're happy about it. And as a doctor, I'm not happy about it, because I think that we're not doing our job.
Well, I know that one of the reasons PEMFs are not more widely accepted in general, certainly in the medical community, and I've talked to several orthopedics doctors,
highly benefit,
and yeah, also pain management specialists, and they think it's a threat to their business.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. It's sad as it may be, but so the public doesn't benefit, or the public's being harmed by the lack of the use of the technology. That upsets me.
Well, and this is one of the reasons for this summit as well, is to educate people in general who are not going to hear it from their doctors so that they can make their own decisions. And fortunately, the technology is available without a prescription most of the time, right? And so we're going to have to bypass that hurdle of requiring a prescription, because if you go to a doctor and you ask for an Assisi or an Avivi, mm-hmm, or a soft pulse, the doctor's going to say, what are you talking about?
True.
Right? Generally speaking, they're not, and that's probably one of the reasons these companies have failed, because they're, one of their big marketing campaigns, because some of the studies were done on this, was post-operative pain and swelling following reconstructive plastic surgery procedures, primarily on the breasts. So women have reconstructive surgery to their breasts. If they do magnetic field therapy after the surgery, they recover much better, much faster. And I've done a study too with swelling. People have reconstructive procedures to their faces. So if you have bruising in your face after reconstruction or after plastic surgery to your face, PEMF therapy around the face will take away the swelling and the bruising very quickly. Within a day or two, you're back to normal. You don't have to hide in, right?
Yeah, people, that's right.
For a few weeks. But we're told that you shouldn't be using the dipulse around the eyes. Have you had any experience that way?
Well, I did. It's funny, because every night before I go to bed, I use the Avivi 3 coils all over my body at sites that I think are, especially as you age, let's say fragile. And one of them is, I wear it as a crown on my head, which is well within the 8-inch range of the field. And it's over my eyes, and my vision's never been better. I don't know. This is very bizarre. I think this is the type of energy field that actually maintains the health of tissue. If it's not there, it corrects it, because we're not treating the body as an electrical factory, which it is. And that's because our physiology courses don't teach that the main conductor of electricity must be not the nervous system, but the blood vascular system. And this was discovered by a very brilliant man in Sweden, doctor in Sweden, in the 80s, and he was shut down too. Even though he was very world renowned, they wouldn't publish his work. But for my technology to work the way it's working, he had to be right. that were conducting electricity through bones and muscles and blood and blood vessels through ionic exchange. We're just loaded with minerals, and they are great electrical conductors. We don't need a wire. It's really interesting.
I totally agree with you that the body is basically a battery inside skin, right? The cover of the battery is the skin.
That's a good image. I like it.
Right. So I think one of the reasons that they talked about the eyes as a contraindication for the diapulse was largely because at that time, diapulse was considered shortwave diathermy.
Oh, okay.
And it was considered thermal. So therefore, it could, the risk is it would create thermal damage to the eye, cloud the lens, and so on. Well, the FDA has now reclassified the diapulse and the 27.12 megahertz signals as athermic. They don't create heating. They don't produce, they don't have their effects through the heating action, just like true diathermy does. So it's not really considered diathermy anymore.
And I'm glad, because we have to get away from thinking of it as physical therapy. It's not. It's a whole nother field. It's something that deserves its own code. It's electrical medicine. Call it what you will, but nobody's giving it the respect and identification that it requires. And that's one of the reasons more doctors write it. They knew that there was revenue that could be gained by curing their patients. Maybe they would switch.
Well, again, that's one of the reasons DrPollock.com exists as well, is to educate people that they have access to this technology on their own without having to rely on a doctor for a referral or even for guidance to a great extent. And that's another reason why I wrote the book Supercharge Your Health with PEMF therapy, right? Because now we have some guidance on how to use it properly.
True. That is true.
Dr. Shandles, I can't tell you how much I appreciated a chance to chat with you and get more of your history and what you've been able to accomplish at a 95% cure rate for pain. I wish we could all experience that. And I'm sure people will be going to your website. Do you have any other references or any other information you could provide people?
I think the original article on the website and all the references and so forth. And
it's on your website, right?
The website purveyor was able to download the entire article with all the illustrations, references, and so forth, which I love, because then you can understand and visually appreciate the magnitude of what we're doing and how simplistic it is, actually is, if you think about it. But it works better than all the garbage I was taught, and it's sad. I mean, after publishing this work in 2002, with the highest published cure rate and the longest follow-up of anyone on heel pain in the world, right. Do you think they're teaching this anywhere? Do you think I laugh at it. I just so laughable. It's sad.
No, the podiatrist, because again, like most other doctors, many podiatrists like their surgery. So, the old aphorism, to cut is to cure, right?
Oh, God help us. Well, that's what I realized, that I was doing all the surgery, but I wasn't curing anybody. I was treating a symptom. That's when I
potentially causing more problems.
Yeah, potentially, absolutely. Nobody ever talks about the significance of all the complications that can occur. Forget it. It's crazy.
Well, again, thank you very much for taking the time to teach us what you took so many years to learn.
Thank you. My pleasure.